Welcome to Crappy Friends, the final episode, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly. Go ahead, Joss. Take it away. Girl power.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018. I'm sorry, you guys. It's been a while. I'm struggling.
Yeah, you know what? It's just fitting that you botched the entry on our last episode.
That's right. A going away
for as it was, so it shall be. And yes, we want to thank you listeners for, 6 years of listening and trusting us with your problems and maybe taking our advice, maybe not. We loved hearing resolutions, and we loved hearing especially your embarrassing personal problems.
You're awesome. I loved the updates and when you took the advice and it was actually working for you. Loved hearing about all of that stuff.
Yeah. And the podcast will remain up into perpetuity. So, you know, if you need to re-listen, go ahead. And of course, buy our book. You have it on hand. It covers, you know, all the big issues that we've discussed over these 6 years.
Yeah.
So we do have.
I wanted to say just a quick thank you to the few guests that we've had on.
Yes.
So, the princess, many thanks for her great advice. She was able to kind of give the sort of millennial younger perspective, which I really appreciated. Thank you to Dr. Khaleesi.
We got
the psychologist, like a working psychologist perspective. And thank you to Mara of the Marble Islands and Countertops.
Yes, who, always a blast.
Did we have anyone else on?
I don't know. Those were our three go-tos. We had that season where we did some guests from other podcasts.
But that's right. Yeah.
To nip that off. But yes, thank you to our wonderful guests. They were always such good sports, and we had a lot of fun with them. So this last letter is actually pretty interesting. And I'm going to start reading it, and I'll pass it over to you because it's a bit long. How's that?
Yeah. Yep. Sounds good.
Ladies, I am so sad to hear that you are ending the podcast. I wanted to send you a sincere thank you and lots of love for the future. Then I want to drop you the letter I've wanted to write for years, second half. And I think it may be one you haven't covered. That's kind of cool for our last episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
I discovered the podcast midway through 2020 when a friend and I got pretty close to when she door slammed me. At the time, I was ending many bad friendships myself and being left with a pretty empty social circle after realizing how draining and toxic my social life is. I was pretty heartbroken and felt doomed to never have real friends, just people who need free therapy, a ride or hand, or acquaintances at best. I learned so much from all the letters and the book and listened to every episode. There were plenty of times the podcast reassured me that I am not insane, I am a good friend, and there are patterns to some of this cursed behavior all of us experience. We are not alone in the nightmare friendships, and unfortunately, they come in hordes.
Yeah.
At the same time, I learned I needed to change things about myself and my own behavior from the stories as well. I was too much a passive listener, a mix of savior complex, and did my share of emotional dumping. So no wonder I could only keep crappy friends. Anyone with a decent EQ would walk away from that. I do have a few decent friends now because I'm setting better boundaries and healthier expectations. I sincerely enjoyed your company while being heartbroken, sad, and bored at work. And appreciate the grand resource you created. I hope maybe you'll come back with an episode once in a while or find a new theme to be the podcasting Rubik's Cube, but I completely understand wanting to move on. Also, the story about farting on the airplane is seared into my memory forever.
Mine too. I love that story so much.
EPP.
Okay. Yes.
On to my letter. I wanted to submit, but didn't because I hoped someone else would write something similar. My friendship problem is with my mother-in-law. I know family relationships are a bit different. However, I really feel as though this family member is confusing me for someone she can befriend rather than the wife of her son. And she just won't stop trying. To try to sum up the relevant history, I have been with my now husband for about 15 years. 5 of those years were living in his hometown where I would have to partake in family visits. Right away, we get a hint, Joss. I would have
to partake. I would have to. That's right. Yes.
I was too young then, 19 to 23, to realize it was an unfair expectation for me to be pressured into family social demands and wrong for me to be unable to say no. Even though we were just dating, it was expected I meet his whole family, all the uncles, aunts, grandparents, cousins, and attached babies, etc., and attend family reunions as if we were already married and I was their daughter. I got very enmeshed in his family's troubling dynamics. His parents and grandparents had ideas about what I should be like and treated me poorly for not being that. We eventually moved away for work reasons, but it was also just too much. On top of all this, his mother and I are like oil and water in terms of compatibility. Come on, it's been 15 years of Sunday dinners, frequent visits, and family vacations. I do not feel any closer to this woman at all. We just don't get each other, and I really, really tried. In fact, I do not want to be closer for a very long list of deal breakers. She gossips about me to the family and friends, gossips about everyone else. She tells me how I should be and is judgmental. She stalks me online to a point where I have blocked her on most social media and IM apps. She gives inappropriate and expensive gifts we have to return, invites herself to stay or intrudes on our vacations and business trips. Every so often, she'd decide to phone or text me every day. For context, I don't even do that with my best friend and not my family. She uses direct insults like cold bitch to refer to me. I am trying to not write you a novel, but she'd get a high score on the bad friend scoreboard if friendship is all we're talking about. Take it away, Jess.
I have worked together with my husband, his sister, and dad to place reasonable boundaries and expectations about what my relationship with her will be. I've gone from continuous intrusive harassment to a few phone calls and one or two small visits a year, which I think is reasonable for a wife living 200 kilometers away to keep
2,000.
Oh, that's right. 2,000 kilometers away to keep a diplomatic peace. The problem remains that she won't accept we're not going to be best friends, and this is probably the best it gets. She's in her mid-60s, and her resentment about this is more and more potent. I think she fantasizes about this idealistic situation where I am much more like her and we're besties going on solo trips together, shopping, crying on each other's shoulder, drinking wine. I don't drink. I know this because she's asked for these things. She's done things like buy me BFF kitchen towels and matching clothing. And she's even gotten upset at my husband that we don't want to move back to the hometown, buy a house there, so her and I can get super close and live some fantasy where we're hanging out every weekend. When I talk to her, she doesn't waste a moment trying to come up with some way I could hang out. If it was mutual, it would be sweet, although still obsessive, but it really isn't mutual. Some days I'm so full of anxiety and anger, I want to get a restraining order. I wish I could outright refuse to interact with her at all, but this would really hurt my husband and his relationship to his family. So far, I have avoided saying very directly, I don't want this relationship with her, but I think this needs some closure. So there's some hope of peace on the horizon. Is there a graceful and kind way to say we are just family? I don't want to be besties. I'm afraid of being so direct too, because I get guilt tripped. Something about how alone she is. She's a socialite, hosts big parties. Things about her terrible mother and brother that passed over 50 years ago to explain why I should feel bad for her behavior, to which I suggest therapy or make some new age appropriate friends herself. It's not my job to carry or heal wounds like that as her half her age best friend. Signed, not your bestie daughter-in-law.
I'm thrilled because we never have had a mother-in-law letter in terms of friendship. And it's very interesting. And I really love it. I think there's a lot here.
There is.
I just want to hold this up to the screen. We're zooming, listeners. Can you see my bullet point answers?
Oh, it's beautiful. Gorgeous. Look, oh, indented. Oh, mm-hmm. It's lovely, listeners. It's very organized.
One
B. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I think my first question, daughter-in-law, is where's your husband?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is his job. I think he needs to take his mom out to lunch without you and say, Mommy, Athena is not comfortable with your constant efforts to be her best friend. She's not. Yeah. She's daughter-in-law.
Yeah.
You and she are not alike. It's not going to happen. You're making her uncomfortable. I love you both, but you need to back off.
Yeah. Cut it out, mom. Got to stop.
That to me, daughter-in-law, is your best, quickest way to,
yeah,
to draw the boundaries, is to have your husband tell his mother,
yeah,
that it's not going to happen and she's causing a problem. He might even say, if you continue, you're going to see less and less of us.
Correct. But she has to be the one to do it. It's his mom.
Right. So he has, and there are consequences.
Yeah.
Consequences to her actions, just like with a toddler.
Yeah.
You mentioned that your husband, like, the, you don't want to cause any problems with his relationship, or it would really hurt his relationship with his family. I kind of think it's inevitable that this hurt is going to happen. So whether it comes from him or you, she's not going to change. But I would really want him to stand up for his woman and take this up. But if your husband doesn't want to get involved, in these kind of situations, I suggest writing a letter, because there's a hard copy. There's
proof
of what you said. I myself am not above recording conversations, which I have done with my own mother, because she's a little slippery with the truth. but, you know, just like if she says, I never asked you to do that, I'll say, no, you did on this date.
And here are the receipts.
Like, listen to the playback. usually when she's like, what do you mean you're in charge of my finances? I'm like, no, you did ask me to. We went to the bank, you know, all that stuff. But I would, if you're going to write a letter, I would recommend hitting some points. And the first is to thank her for raising the great man that you married.
That's brilliant.
Right?
Love it. Yes, right? That takes the steam out of things, right? Mm-hmm. It lowers the volume a notch. I love that. Yes.
Right. You open with, thank you for doing such a great job. He is so kind, so intelligent. His apple pie is just like yours. And I really appreciate the man that he is, because he raised him.
Yeah.
And then you say, I know you want us to be good friends and spend time together, but you're a generation older than I am. You're my mother-in-law. No one else in the world has that title. You're very special because you're the only mother-in-law I have. But I have my friends. I have my friends. And I don't see you and me becoming the kind of relationship that you want us to have.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is disappointing, but it's just not going to happen. And then saying something like, I hope you can respect my feelings on this. I'm trying to be respectful to you by being direct, mm-hmm. so that you won't spend time and money buying gifts and raising your expectations. I just want to be very straightforward with this. I don't want to duck and dodge your invitations and overtures. And if you can't do that, I'm afraid that I will be spending less time with you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think that's inevitable, daughter-in-law, that this is not going to improve, and that your survival strategy is just going to be, okay, honey, have a good time. Tell your parents I said hello.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you said something that really threw me. She inserts herself into your vacations and business trips.
Can't believe that.
Wouldn't you love the details on that? Like, does she just
would.
In the hotel lobby at a convention that you're attending or something?
Yeah, I would just book a room at the hotel and be like, oh, I'm down the hall. Like, what is that about?
Yeah. So I would address that head on too in writing and say, like, you know, James and I will include you in the events we want to share with you. But please be respectful of our lives and our time. We're adults and we get to choose when and where we interact with our friends and family.
Yeah.
So that will all be in your letter. You can show it to your husband and maybe one of your friends or your sister or something. No matter what, this is going to be hurtful to her.
You're not going to get away from the hurt that she's going to feel.
And she's not going to accept any of those things based on what you told us.
Yes, she will not. She will go back to trying to guilt trip you,
I had sobbing.
Terrible childhood. My family was so bad. Let me guilt you. Make sure you have some text ready to go when she talks about guilt tripping you to try to bring you back in. Because it, what you said in the second page, which really struck me, is I'm afraid of being so direct too, because I get guilt tripped. Something about how alone she is, things about her terrible mother and brother that passed over 50 years ago, to explain why I should feel bad for her behavior. You need to have a response ready to that, ready for that. And my suggestion for those types of things is to say, I'm really sorry you went through that. I can recommend therapy, but it is not for me to help you resolve that in your life.
Yeah.
And you're and ad nauseum. And then what I did with my own sainted mother is I came up with my phrase, and I might even have had a note that I could pull out so I knew what I wanted to say. And I said exactly those words, and I repeated exactly those words. So every time she pushed up against the boundary that I had set, I said those words, those exact same words, ad nauseum, over and over again. And after a while, she got sick of hearing me repeat myself. So it sounds like you're saying, no, I don't want you to do this, but you say the same words over and over and over again. And it sounds really annoying to someone. And eventually they understand that you're setting a really hard boundary and
that's
they stop.
That's the only response she gets from you.
The only one, same words, exactly the same time. You're going to have to like really come up with the strength to be able to say them again and again and not give in. You hold that line. What are we calling you? Athena?
I stuck that in. Daughter-in-law. Yeah. You hold that, tape it to the fridge, you know?
Yes.
And I think that's such great advice, Joss. And I think that's the perfect line, because if that's all she'll get, and she says, but you don't understand, and she keeps going, you can also then say, after you've said that a couple of times, say, Jeanette, I'm sorry, this conversation isn't going anywhere. I have other things to do. I wish you the best, and I'll talk to you in the near future. Bye.
Yep.
And you hang up.
You hold that line too. That
you hang up, and when she calls back and you see it's her,
yeah,
you hang up again. And if she keeps calling you, you block her number. You send her a text and say, you're calling me in a very disruptive manner. I have things to do. I'm going to block you for the next few days. But of course you have your son's number, and if it's an emergency, yeah, you can call him.
Yeah.
When she gossips, say, I'm sorry, Jeanette, I don't like listening to this gossip. And you hang up, or you walk out of the room.
And hold that line too. These are all the lines that you have to hold. So you don't let her talk. And I can see why you might want to do this. It might be like, you know, her weekly call or her biweekly call or monthly call. And you know, she's going to spend an hour on the phone giving you all the gossip about the family. And you kind of just suffer through it to get over it.
Like let her get out of her system.
Yeah. And you check that box. We've had our call. I'm done. I can carry on. But what you're going to do this time is say, I don't approve of gossip, and I'd rather not take up time gossiping. And you hold that line too.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little bit of work at the outset from you, but I think it will pay off as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, if you say, Jeanette, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear this gossip.
Yeah.
And she'll say something like, well, you just need to, I just thought you would want to, you say, I'm sorry, I don't. Can we change the subject, or should I hang up?
Yeah. Every single time.
Very firm, very clear. Change the subject, or should I hang up?
And have your script ready.
Yep. When she gives you these crazy gifts, overly expensive gifts, which are, you know, and we know, a bribe.
Yeah.
You say, I'm sorry, Jeanette, I can't accept this. Would you like it back so you can give it to someone else? Or shall I bring it to Goodwill?
Yes.
Or the charity shops. I think you're British based on your spelling. You know, whatever you call them over there. I actually think you're Irish. I'd be thrilled to know if I was right. but you just tell her right there, you know, like, oh, here it is. You know, something from Tiffany's, or you said, I'm sorry. It's lovely, but I can't accept it. Would you like it back, or shall I donate it?
Mm-hmm. Every single time. Yep.
If she somehow invites herself along on a trip or shows up in the hotel lobby, you say, I'm sorry, Jeanette, this event does not include you.
Yeah.
Period. If it's like, that business trip was very curious for me, like that she yeah. showed up on a business trip. And I'm thinking of like, you go to a conference and she happens to be in town at the same hotel and you just, she wants to hang out and have dinner. You say, I'm sorry, Jeanette, this event doesn't include you.
Yeah.
I'm here for work, or James and I are here for our vacation, which doesn't yeah. include you.
Wow. Yeah. And I could see how she might try to bully you into getting, going on these trips, maybe a vacation that you and your husband have. You and your husband and in your family, you might have, she tries to bully herself and it's easier to give in
yeah,
and just like suffer through it. Right.
Well, she's and, here. We may as well.
Yeah. We may as well. But again, at the outset, you're going to have to put out a lot of initial effort if you're enacting this plan, but I think the rewards will, you'll be able to reap the rewards, but it's going to be you and your husband, explain this plan, explain the letter that you're going to write, explain your plans for, you know, the various scenarios that you've laid out in your letter, and recognize that it is going to be like a lot of emotional effort on your part in the beginning to like get yeah. through this. Cause I know how hard it is to say no. We as women struggle. Mm-hmm. I know how hard it is to say no and that be the complete sentence. You want to qualify, you want to quantify. And so get your script ready, be prepared to, you use a lot of emotional energy to get through this. But after a while, it will be better. And she right. will, right. she will respect the boundary that you hold yeah. really hard. But both you and your husband have to be on the same page. On right. it. You got to be together.
Right. And just because she is related to your husband doesn't give her the right to be abusive.
No.
And what you've described is abusive in many different forms. Like she calls you a cold bitch. If she did that in your presence,
yeah,
I think you should say, I'm sorry, did you just call me a cold bitch? Honey, we're leaving now.
Yes. Every single time.
You walk out. If you yes. heard that she called you a cold bitch, then whoever's telling you that is a gossip and say, I'm sorry, I don't like gossip. Shall we change the subject or shall I hang up?
Every single time.
Right?
Yes.
Because it sounds like a very big family.
Yeah.
So I do think, though, that a lot of people, a lot of us, and myself included, say, but he's my brother, but she's my mom. I can't just, but the thing is you... Blood does not make you, it does not sentence you to suffer.
Yeah, that's true. You 100% can do this. You should, for the benefit of your own mental health, your own emotional health, your marriage, that benefit of the marriage and the anxiety that you're feeling. I also wanted to mention, you know, I hope you're seeing someone about that, because I do understand how what she's doing to you is bullying you. Mm-hmm. And so you have a bully in your life that you can't get rid of. That does cause some emotional trauma. So, you know, look to that as well. I mean, deal with this situation for sure, but definitely go to therapy. The cognitive behavioral therapy will help you to switch a lot of what she's saying, like turn that around so that you can either feel that you can distance yourself from it, or that you can actually feel compassion for her mm-hmm. and sympathy her from it. Like right now you can't, you're so angry, you're in such an angry place, but the goal of a lot of that therapy is to get you in a place where you can like just feel sorry for her and walk away, and that not be in your head 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. How she did this, how she called you a cold bitch, how you said that.
And that's exactly what cognitive behavioral therapy is. It is
yes.
your brain telling you to do something different.
Yeah,
do something different, so you're not yeah. caught in the thought spiral.
That's right.
You're like, okay, so here's Jeanette. She's at it again. Yeah. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to put yes. on music really loud yes. and yes. dance around for 15 minutes. Yeah. And you train yourself not yeah. to get caught up in this. And I do think, you know, you can have sympathy for her and compassion. You can think, you know, she does not have the life that she wants. I am not mm-hmm. the daughter-in-law that she wanted. But it's not my job to fix her life. It's my job to take care of mine and ours, yours yes. and my husband's. And the metaphor that leaps to mind is like, you're cleaning out your house. And it's filled with all this crap you don't need. And it's really hard and backbreaking and tiring. And you get dirty lugging all this stuff. And then you have to take it to the dump. And there's scratch marks on the floor and whatever. And then when you fix it all, you have this lovely home. And that's what you're doing by removing her effects from your life. Right. You're creating this lovely space for you and your husband to live in. Because you have to like put up that fence and say, this is here you can go and this is where you stop.
Yeah.
And I am the enforcer. I will stop you because I know you're not going to stop yourself. She's in her 60s, you know.
Yeah.
She's not going to change. She's not going to see the light. She's probably not going to go to therapy and say, why does my daughter-in-law hate me?
Yeah.
What you're doing is all for you and your husband.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong in you stepping back from his family and letting him carry on as he wants. I mean, we do have a mutual friend, Joss, who says like, you know, tell your family I said hello. She's not going to go because she knows the pattern of nonsense that the family's going to put her through and all the anger that that's going to elicit in her. So she's just not doing it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a solution. It's not maybe the best solution always in every case, but it could be. It is a solution. So if your husband wants to go home without you or you want to stay home, just tell him that. Like, I'm not going to come this time, sweetie.
Yeah. And I promise you there are other relatives in that family who suffer the same stuff. Yeah. There are people who are suffering just as you are. And when they see what you're doing, you might get a few calls being like, I can't believe you've done this.
You know,
you might get a few calls.
It's you have to also realize that this is normal for your in-laws. This kind of behavior, you know, you imply that the family is pretty complicated. It wasn't just the mother-in-law, but, you know, people wanting you to be different from how you were and that kind of thing. This is the normal day-to-day that this family lives. And it's very hard for someone in it to take a step back and say, this should not be normal. This is not acceptable. Just because it's been going on for 50 years doesn't mean I should have to tolerate it. And I mean, I've talked on the show about my brother and the fact that we're no longer in touch. And I was the first person in our family to say like, that's it. Here's the boundary that I will not go past. You know, he is, I wish that my brother would get better and have a better life, but I don't have any hopes that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any expectations that that's going to happen based on past behavior. And but that doesn't mean that I have to fix him or even that I have to deal with him. And when I stopped, there was just what Joss said. I was like, oh my God, you know, and there was a lot of like, but he's your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And when I said, well, yes, but I can't keep doing this. I want my children to see me role modeling this kind of behavior and so on. And then it started happening. It was like a ripple effect.
Yes.
Know? And, you know, there's this like, you know what? I think I'm going to take a note here and do what she's doing. And, you know, as sad as it is to have a family member that you've cut out of your life, my life is better for it.
The emotional weight that you carry around with that, when that's gone, it is such a relief.
And Joss has known me back when I was trying to fix things and put up with, and then during the time when I said, I think I have to not do this anymore, it was very, it was very hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It took a lot of retraining my brain to think like, this is what I need to do. These are the boundaries I need to keep. And I'm going to have to put up with the disappointment from other family members and so on and so forth. But I know what's best for me and my husband and my children. And I'm going to hold this hard line. And it was very hard. Like the first year was very hard. And then it got easier and easier and easier. And I just feel like where there was all that darkness and turmoil, there's just like sunshine and flowers now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a load off. again, I love Kristen's metaphor of cleaning the house. It's a lot of labor in the beginning, but once the house is clean, it's like, oh, such a relief. It feels so good to be in there. You feel so organized. You feel so much better.
You feel safe. You feel pleasant, yep. You know, happy.
It's going to be that way for you too, but you are going to have to put out a lot of effort, you and your husband. And I keep saying that because he has to be on your side with this. Yes. You have to be able to count on him to back you up. And if he needs, like, you know, a script himself, you know, why hasn't Athena shown up at this family event? Come up with some language for him to say, mm-hmm. Well, Athena doesn't really want to come to this event, yeah. Or whatever.
Come up with. She had other things to do this weekend.
Yes. But,
you know, like laying in the bathtub is another thing to do.
Is another thing. But be on the same page. Be so in good communication with your husband about this. That's the way to get through it also. Mm-hmm. Is on the same page of the goal.
I think there are definitely partnerships where one partner is not going to. They might still be in the, I can't, she's my mother.
Right.
Phase. In which case you say, yes, you're right. She is your mother.
Right.
And so I'm going to take a bubble bath and get some takeout this weekend while you go home and visit your family. If he feels that compelled, and maybe he has a different relationship with his mother. Maybe it's easier being her son than her daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And he can make his choices too, but he cannot throw you under the bus.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
So when he's around the family, he's got to be still on your side. He's got to be your cheerleader about whatever they're saying. So if they're gossiping about the fact that you didn't come to some family event, he's got to be the one that say, you know what? I don't like gossip. So I'm not going to. He's got to be the one to do it. Right. That's what I mean.
You don't want him sitting there saying like, oh gosh, this is so hard on me that Athena didn't come because, you know, that's the opposite of what you want. And, you know, in marriage, you forsake all others. And sometimes that includes your family, you know?
That's the way it goes.
You are his family now. You are his number one. And I think that, you know, he should have his script ready. Like, you know, Athena is taking some time for herself.
Yeah.
But I came.
Yeah.
And, you know, how about them Red Sox? How about them ponies? I don't know. Yeah. How about those horse races?
Manchester United. Yay, Manchester United. I thought they were worldwide, Manchester United. I thought they were worldwide.
Maybe they are. Irish rugby is a thing.
Oh.
You're just assuming your Irish daughter-in-law. We have no idea. The spelling that indicated a British.
UK something going on.
Yeah. But you know, the UK, Irish don't like to be counted in the UK.
I know.
It's not their kingdom. Thank you very much.
My Irish
friend. Shout out to my mother-in-law.
Yes.
I had some very slight issues with my mother-in-law where she was very judgmental about, you know, my child rearing and, you know, was I giving organic everything, and you know, and I was, but you know, she just, like, I felt like she didn't trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, take her out to lunch and thank her for being, for raising the man that I loved and what a great guy he was and what a wonderful husband. And she's a very kind and loving person. That conversation changed everything. For you, Athena, daughter-in-law, that conversation is not going to change everything. That's why I say put it in writing.
So yeah.
It's that opening sentence of, I want to start by thanking you for raising your son.
Because
I love him and your son. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my mother-in-law and I are very friendly, but we're not best friends. She's my mother-in-law. I don't spend the weekend with her, just her and me hanging out. Chatting, you know.
I'm thinking of my married friends. I don't know, and I don't have any married friend who hangs out with their mother-in-law.
Yeah, my mother-in-law visits. We love having her. I'm not going to say, "Hey, Polly, let's go to Mexico together."
No,
right.
I mean, and Polly is lovely. Listeners, she's the loveliest woman. She's got this delightful Irish accent, and she's just, she's always so happy to see me, which I love. She's just the loveliest woman. But yes, I understand you don't want to spend time in Mexico with her.
Right. I mean, she's very special. She's a fantastic mother-in-law. I feel lucky that we can talk about just about anything, but I have friends. I have lots of friends, and I only have one mother-in-law. And so she gets to be special in that way.
Yeah.
I doubt that your mother-in-law is ever going to get to that point of accepting, like, yeah, she's got lots of friends, but she only has one me. I raised her son, and she's grateful. You know, I think that's asking too much from what you've described.
Yeah, she sounds, the family in general sounds fairly dysfunctional. There's been a lot of stuff going on for the last 50 years that's just toxic and dysfunctional. Yeah. But again, don't be surprised if people come out of the woodwork and be like, I can't believe.
Yeah.
And then more people get on that bandwagon. Or I was going to say, maybe there is some family member who everyone thinks is the black sheep who never wants to come to a, now you know why.
That's so true.
Now you know why. This person is the black sheep and never wants to come to family events and like that.
Just protecting themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. So good luck with that. And you can certainly write to us and let us know how things go. All of you who have written in, whose letters we've covered, are welcome to do that. We can't figure out how to turn off our Gmail address. So, you know, every other month or so, we'll check in. But we won't be taking letters for advice anymore. But honestly, it has been an honor. It's been so much fun. We never anticipated that there would be thousands and thousands of people listening to each episode. And, you know, we got written up in the New York Times. It's like, you know, we never thought we'd write a book because, you know, but so we have just had the best time with you, listeners. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends.
Forever.